And you go away to Prince Edward Island and you sleep. It's not like you haven't been sleeping in places like history classes and those kind of things. I know that because I was a history teacher. And I think some of my students thought that I particularly enjoyed ancient history so much because I think they believe that I lived through most of it. Anyway, it's great to be here again this morning, and to just thank God for the sense of God's presence that I sensed last evening, and just meeting some of you and talking to some of you and just looking forward to what God has in store for us today. Now, I've got a couple of things that I want to mention before we actually open the Word of God and get into our session this morning. I've got a beautiful... made this myself. Yeah. Live for More, Word Life Bible Institute, WLBI.ca, and I'm going to give this away this morning.
Yes.
Now, my wife said it's too valuable. Maybe we should hold on to it a while. Maybe the value will go up. But I overruled, and I said, here, we got to give it away. We just got to give it away. It'll be on my conscience for the rest of the weekend. Now, here's how we're going to do it. I know it's guys versus girls and stuff like that, and I couldn't come up with anything creative. So, the first person that stands and tells me the name of last night's session gets a t-shirt. Ooh, that was fast. All right. And you got to tell us your name.
Jessica.
Where are you from?
PEI.
PEI. All right. And what was the name? What was the title of last night's session? I'm sorry. I mentioned that last night, but that wasn't last night's session. That, good work, though. Yeah.
Truth matters. Because that affects how we live.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. Thank you, sir.
Welcome.
All right. Now, if you want a different color or a different size or something like that, we have a couple of others of those. All right? So thank you. Now, in a later session, I'm going to share about the Word of Life Bible Institute. And there's some materials I've taken the liberty to put out over here on this table. There's this particular one that gives you a look, all kinds of pictures in there and stuff about what campus life is like, about ministry, about the courses, about the program. Coursework is fully accredited. It's a one-year-only Bible Institute. We put all of our eggs in that basket. So you can check that out. It's a great investment in a continuing education plan. And then we've got, I've just got two or three of these left. We've been in the Maritimes for a few days. And I've just got two or three of these left. This is called a view book. And it'll just give you a quick look at what Word of Life Bible Institutes offer. And we've got a Word of Life Bible Institute in Owen Sound. We've got a Word of Life Bible Institute in Sherbrooke, Quebec, that's all in French. The main campus is in Stroon Lake, New York. Owen Sound is a branch campus of that main campus. South Korea is a branch campus of the main campus. Florida is a branch campus of the main campus. Uganda has just opened up as a branch campus of Stroon Lake, New York. So wherever you want to go in the world, folks, we've got you covered. And you'll get exactly the same program, intensively Bible. That's the only thing we teach. Bible, ministry, leadership development. And so check it out. I have some web cards over there as well. If you'd like to go online and look at it. Now, if anyone, by the way, the view books, let's say the view books are for grades 11 and 12, because I only have three or four left, all right? And I'm just about out of those. But let's say this, if anybody decides to apply to the Bible Institute while I'm here this weekend, my rich wife will throw in a $300 discount off your registration fee and probably some other things, because she's rich. She is rich. She's got all kinds of money. And so we'll do that for you this weekend. Be sure to check it out, at least look at it. Listen, every Christian young person and young adult needs to make sure that they're grounded in the Word of God. Because
Because we're living in a culture of lies about truth. And I know that's blunt. And our culture is not stupid. It's intelligent. And your faith is going to be challenged. In fact, sadly to say, statistics indicate that probably many of you here today in 10 years are not going to be calling yourself Christian. I hope that's not true. It doesn't have to be true. But it happens. And it happens because we choose to move away from truth and accept a worldview that is built not on biblical truth, but on philosophy and thoughts and emotions and all kinds of other things. And we move away from our faith. The majority of university students, by the time they enter their second year of university, that go there as born-again believers, at least 50% of them, by the time they're in second or third year, no longer are comfortable by being referred to as a born-again Christian. And so just consider what God might have you think and plan as you plan your continuing education.
Now, we went to this morning. Last night we were talking about truth, the truth about truth. This morning I want us to look at the truth about us. Now, I grew up in a Christian home, and I heard over and over again a truth statement. It was absolutely true. Maybe when I first started to hear it as a kid, I didn't entirely understand it, or know how to get a hold of it, or know what it would look like, but it was an absolute truth statement, and I'm going to share it with you here this morning. It's not going to surprise anyone. Any of you that come from Christian homes, any of you that come from an assembly, you've heard this or a variation of this. It simply is this: Gary, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And that is absolutely true. You may not know the details of that plan. You may be wondering how to get a hold of it. You may be wondering how to identify it and make it yours, but that is an absolute truth. We could go to many, many places in Scripture and see where that is emphasized, see where that is lived out in the Old Testament, in Bible characters. Oh, there were struggles. And there were difficulties. We're not alone. Struggles are almost biblical. You see them there. You see God's people struggling with making decisions, struggling with life. Well, they weren't struggling with the technological issues like we have today, but they were struggling with the heart issues, and the heart issues have never changed. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? That is true of all mankind. And so God's people and people of all generations have struggled with finding out God's plan. But that does not change the fact that it is absolutely true that God has a wonderful plan for Gary's life. And I stumbled around as a teenager. I was in and out, up and down, all over the place at times. But God in his faithfulness kept bringing people and circumstances and situations and his word and testimonies and maybe a song, maybe a rebuke, whatever it was. God in his faithfulness just kept bringing me back, just kept reminding me, Gary, listen, there's a better way. Gary, listen. Don't give up. Gary, listen. Keep searching. Gary, listen. Keep asking. God has a wonderful plan for our lives, and he is faithful. And you know, that's one statement of truth, but there's another truth about us.
that you see in God's Word, and that you see lived out in generations of God's people. Then listen, God also wants us to get the most out of the life He's given to us. Now there will be those in your world. There will be those in every situation, in every setting that you move into in life that will challenge that and say, no, God doesn't want to get the most out of life. God is a fun destroyer. God is a limiter. God is mean. God sets up limits. God restricts you. God makes you think in simple ways. God doesn't want you to get the most out of life. That is a lie. God wants you and me to get the most out of life that He has given to us. And it is possible. It is possible to get the most out of the life you're living. You may be living in difficult circumstances right now. You may be living a life of misery. You may not be wanting to go back to home tomorrow or back to school at the first of the week. It may be tough right now. But listen, that does not change the truth. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Absolutely true. God wants you to get the most out of life. Absolutely true. And God made us special. That is another truth about us. You see, you know the book of Genesis. And if you think back into the first two or three chapters of Genesis, we see this, that God made us special. He made us unique. No matter what people tell you, you're not a tree. You're different. You're not an animal. You're different. You see, God, in His wisdom, made us special for a special plan, for special fulfillment. In Genesis chapter 1, it makes it very clear that when God created the world, He spoke, and the world came into existence. Words. He spoke, and the sun appeared. He spoke and the stars were in play. He spoke and creation happened just by speaking words. But when you look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, you see something totally different when it comes to men. It says this. It says that God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Now, in order to form something, you've got to take it in your hand. You see, God just didn't speak impersonal words to make mankind. He did it in a special way. God must have reached down and take the dust of that which He had formed with words and take that dust and put it in His hand and form the shape of a man, the shape of a human being. Right in the personal hand of all-powerful God. He did that. And then that verse, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 goes on. And it says that after He formed man from the dust of the ground, He breathed into his nostrils the breath of God. In a very special, wonderful, creative way, the breath of God came into that form. Not words, but the holy breath of an all-powerful God breathed into that which He had formed, mankind, breathed into His nostrils the breath of life. And here's the third thing that is different. And man became a living soul. Now, dear friends, I don't care how much you like your pet frog or your pet cat or your pet dog. That didn't happen to them. You're unique. We are unique. A special creation out of all the things that God made. He chose to make man unique for a special purpose. And we are living souls. That's the truth about us. definition that I've heard simplified into words that I can understand for soul is this. The soul is that part of every human being, that part of you, that part of me, that is going to live somewhere forever. It's going to live somewhere forever. It's got eternal value. And God made us that way. God formed us. God breathed into our form the breath of life. And every human being has a living soul. And that living soul that is really you is going to live somewhere forever. And then God made us unique in another way. He made us for relationship. You see, Genesis, there in the first few chapters, it talks about God coming down and walking in the garden. And he knew Adam by name. He called him by name, and Adam knew God in a personal way. And God and Adam had a personal relationship. And God and Eve had a personal relationship. You don't find it that God came down and hung out with the giraffes. You don't find that God came down and hugged trees even though he had created them. You don't find that God, contrary to Mormon theology, God didn't go somewhere and take up residence on a star in some distant part of the universe. No. God is interested in man. Because he made us unique. And he made us of great value. And he gave to every human being a soul for which it was so valuable and is so valuable. And he sent his son to die. He made us for relationship. The best years of Adam and Eve's lives
were those years when they fulfilled that relationship and had that joy and satisfaction of being able to openly commune with their Creator and not have to hide from Him.
You see, that's the truth about us. God's got a wonderful plan for our lives. God made us unique and special. God gave us a soul, and it is going to live somewhere forever. Death is not the end. Death is the end of the body. Death is not the end of the soul. And it's going to live somewhere forever. And then God made us for relationship.
Do you know what destroyed it? Lie. Take your Bibles. We're just going to look at this very quickly. I want us to see that the lie hasn't changed. Oh, it may have taken on different words. It may come in a different type of enticement today. But the lie hasn't changed. Since man, who was made special by God, for God, in a special relationship with a living soul, since man first arrived on the earth, since man first encountered lies, the lie hasn't changed. And you'll see it here in Genesis chapter 3. And I just want to point out to you some aspects of the lie here this morning. I want you to see it in Genesis chapter 3, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Lie one. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Here's the lie of the devil. The lie of the devil, when the devil first approached God's special creation, man who was made.
She gave truth to the lie. She said, no, God hasn't said that. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of one tree. Just one. I can eat of this tree and this tree and this tree and this tree and all the trees in this beautiful garden that God has made for our enjoyment, for our sustenance, for having a wonderful setting for our relationship with Him. I can eat of them all except one. In other words, she's given the truth. Listen, you need to believe the truth this morning, because you may be enticed by the lies of this world. Say, be a Christian? You can't do anything. Your God's mean. He doesn't want you to enjoy the pleasure of relationships. No, 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 no. That's not true. God gives perfect freedom in relationships, except those that go contrary to what He lays down for proper sexual relationship in marriage. You see, the lie of the devil is that God is mean. And Eve knew the truth. And she said that truth. And then we go on here. And the serpent just plunges on. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Do you know what the serpent is really saying here? God's a liar. Don't believe that stuff. Do you know what your culture and my culture is saying to us today? God's a liar. Don't believe that stuff. You're going to base your life on that? Well, that's old-fashioned. How can you possibly think that anything written 2,000 to 3,000 to 4,000 years ago could have any relevance in this modern world? Why we are enlightened? That's a lie. Goes on and says this. Do you know why God lies to you? For God doth know, verse 5, that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be open. You want to know the joys of a relationship? Then just set that God stuff aside. Just set those boundaries aside and partake. And then you'll know the fulfillment of a relationship. And you will be happy and you will be satisfied. No, you'll be guilty. And the lie that promised you satisfaction will bring guilt. And the lie that says if you go down this path and enjoy the fruits of a physical relationship before marriage, that lie that says that will leave you unfulfilled. The devil's lies always produce the opposite of fulfillment. And Eve knew it. Then he says, your eyes will be opened, you'll be enlightened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. I mean, what a bunch of malarkey. I think that's a word. Now look at this. And when the woman saw that the tree was good and that it was pleasant to the eyes, the tree to be desired, she could have had, and she was enjoying all the trees in the garden. Gave to her husband. Now look at the consequence. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the walk daily with the Lord. And you see, what happened here, students, was that the lie of the devil, which is the same kind of lie today, destroyed that relationship that man was created for. And it created a barrier between God and his special creation, man, who had a special soul that was going to live somewhere forever. That relationship was broken, not because God was mean, but because man chose. And that's another truth about us. God has a wonderful plan for our lives. God made us special in a special way. God gave us a soul that is going to live somewhere forever. And then God made us choosers. And that's different from animals. We choose. And so she chose. When she saw that it was pleasing to the eye, and that it was good to taste, she made a choice. And Adam made the same choice. Adam had the same information from God. You can eat of all these things. This. But of this one, you may not eat nor touch. For in the day you do, you shall surely die. Eve chose, Adam chose. We are choosers. You see, we make thousands of choices a day. Probably by this time in the morning, you've already made a couple of thousand choices. You've already decided what you wanted to put on your cereal. You've already decided what toothpaste. You've already decided whether you're going to turn your socks inside out so you can get another day out of them. You've already decided all of those kind of things. You've made all kinds of choices already. You see, we are choosers. And the consequences of our nature and our choice and our choosing is death. You see, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, that the wages of sin is death. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 that we're all sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. We have all sinned. We are sinners by nature because we've inherited that sinful nature from Adam and Eve, the first parents. And we're sinners by choice. You can't blame Adam and Eve. You can't blame your parents. You can't blame someone else for the choices that we choose to make. We are sinners by choice. And the Word of God says that there are wages with that. Now, wages are things that you deserve. You know, you work at Tim Hortons or McDonald's or some other fine eating establishment. It comes to the end of the pay period and you've already put in a couple of weeks. You get wages for those hours. You've put the hours in. Those wages are something that you deserve, that you have earned. And the wages of our sin is death. And that's going to affect our soul and where our soul spends eternity. When I taught high school, I can remember the day. I hated the day of giving back exams. I used to teach something in Ontario called grade 13. Don't ask me, but it was weird. any school system that would punish students by adding an extra year on and tricking them into thinking that it's important, that's weird. That's just downright weird. But anyway, I was a loyal teacher in the system, and so I taught grade 13. That happens to be the year before university then. And those credits, you had to have those credits to get into university. And so there's a lot of pressure on exams, and I hated giving back marks. That was a bad day for me because I knew there was going to be disappointment. Largely because of the choices that students had made ahead of time. I used to do this thing in school. I used to put up on the blackboard. Those were things that we used to use back when buggies were around. Blackboards and chalk. And I love that because I could make it squeak.
preach. Yet, Paul, it was wonderful. I could bring people right up out of their seats. And it was so neat to do that. But I would put on the board at the beginning of semester, 143 days till exams. That was cruel. And we'd count down. And I loved weekends because weekends took 3 days off the number. And I'd keep reminding, 90 days, guys, 90 days. The exams are going to be here, 90, 50 days, 20 days. I never noticed any big change in behavior. We're getting closer to the end. No change in behavior. Freddie Ferdinand is still leaving class with no books. Scahila never opens a notebook. I began to wonder if I was accomplishing anything, and I'm sure the students wondered the same thing. But then exams would come. Oh, my exams would come. Oh, glorious day.
It was a counting day. It was the day when the books were opened and the deal was settled.
Then I'd have to mark these things, and some of them were just brutal. Just brutal. And I know Barb would hear me in my study moaning and groaning. And, oh, my goodness. What am I going to do with this? What on earth does that mean? They can't even spell their name. This is grade 13. Some of these people are hoping to be doctors. So giving exams back was traumatic. And it so much depended on it. So I remember I gave exams back. I gave them back every year, but the thought that's coming to my mind is this one situation, this one day. And I gave back final exam. And I put this final exam down on her table. And she... And it wasn't one of those old happy day. It was, oh my, oh me, what am I going to do now? My life is ruined. And so I went through the exam and explained the marking scheme, and we went over it with the whole class, and then at the class, and so she said, this thing all tumbled up. She said, Mr. Stair, can I come and see you? And I said, yes, you can come and see me. Please do. I didn't say it like that. I said, yes, sure, you can see me. After class. After school today, why don't you come in and we'll go over it? And so she came in at the end of a long day, and so I think she got another marks back like that. But she came in at the end of a long day, and she opened up the paper, and here's what she said to me. She said, Mr. Stairza, I only want what I deserve. Now, friends, dear friends, honest before God, I bit my tongue. And I didn't say what I was thinking. But it's a long time ago, so I will tell you what I was thinking. Listen, dear. If you were to get what you deserve, it wouldn't be 45. It might be below zero. Even in this terrible outcome, I have shown mercy. You know what? One day, choosers, we're going to get what we deserve. Because of the choices we make. And the Word of God makes it very clear here that as a chooser, there's a price for going through life with a broken relationship with God. And the consequences, the wages of sin, what I deserve as a sinner before God is death. What my soul deserves that I know is going to live somewhere forever because of the sinful choices that I have made, what that soul deserves is death and eternity separated with the relationship with God broken into eternity, broken forever, and death. In hell. That's what I deserve. what you deserve. But you remember, God's got a plan for your life. And God doesn't want that. And it doesn't have to be that way. Because God has provided a plan. And that is called the plan of salvation. And it's very simple like this. I know I'm a sinner. So do you. Yeah, now I've had teenagers say to me, Mr. Stairs, are you so old-fashioned that you believe it's saved? I don't think I'm a sinner. No one has ever proved to me that I'm a sinner. You know what? Anybody ever have to teach you how to be selfish? You know, when I was growing up, when I was a little kid, out here in the Maritimes, my dad never at any time said to me, now, son, come on over here, Gary. I'm going to teach you some things about life. Son, listen. Here's how you be selfish. We're going to take you to the nursery today. When you get in that nursery, you grab all the toys for yourself. When that girl comes along and tries to take your toys away, you've got 10 toys and she's got none, you just pull her hair. Don't you get pushed around, son. You got to stand up on your own 2 feet. You got to learn how to be selfish. And son, while we're at it, let me teach you how to lie. This is how you do it, buddy. You gotta know how to lie if you're gonna be a man. So let me teach you. It's not something you know naturally, fully. We know how to be selfish. We are selfish. Our nature, since Eve and Adam destroyed that relationship, has been one. I not only want the fruit of that tree, I want the fruit of all the trees. And any tree that God says is forbidden, I want that fruit too, because I'm my own God. I'm Gary Stairs, and I'll live life the way I want to live it. You see, we're sinners by choice. The wages for that sin is death. No amount of education is going to change that. No amount of pretending is going to change that. That is absolute truth. And you know in your heart, no matter what you're believing in your mind, no matter what you're hoping, you know in your heart that that is true. And the question is,
God has a plan for your life, Gary. He knows you're a sinner.
He knows you're selfish. He knows you're a liar. He knows you've deceived. He knows you've disobeyed the Ten Commandments. He knows all that things, and he's still got a plan for your life. And that plan starts with salvation. Coming to the place where you acknowledge before God, yes, I'm going to confess. Do you know what confession is? Agreeing. Agreeing with God what he already knows about you and what you already know about yourself. You know you're a sinner. If you never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you're living on dangerous ground. Because if you were to stand before him today, you'd get the wages of your sin. Get what you deserve. But God, in his mercy and in his love, says, listen, I've got a plan. And that sin has destroyed that plan and broken the relationship that brings fulfillment to your life and peace and secures your place in heaven. Sin has broken that. It has destroyed it. But I'm going to intervene on your behalf. I'm going to send my son, Jesus Christ. The Word of God teaches that you know the Christmas story. Born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life. You know the story of Easter. Guiltless, sinless, died on a cross. For me, I didn't deserve that. I deserved the not have a suitable plan for dealing with your sin. No. Never. It's greater than him. Only God. Now listen. It's possible to know all about salvation and not be saved. I grew up in a town that was famous for a hockey player 30, 40 years ago. I grew up in Brantford, Ontario. Wayne Gretzky grew up there, just a few years younger than me. I was a struggling hockey player. As you heard last night, I was headed to the NHL. I didn't get my picture on the front page of the Brantford Expositor as a 10-year-old. Wayne Gretzky on Monday morning was all over the newspaper. And I knew all about Wayne Gretzky. I followed his career. He was from Brantford. I was from Brantford. I knew all about him. I kept the Sports Illustrated magazine with his picture on the front. I jumped and cheered the first time that the Edmonton Oilers beat the New York Islanders. I was jumping around in my rec room screaming and yelling, "Yeah, I'm gonna be Wayne, oh boy! Yeah, yeah!" I didn't like New York anyway. I followed his career, 60-some NHL records. Many of them have never been broken to this day. I knew all about him. Can I tell you something else, though? If I were to go to the Brantford Mall today and Wayne was to come in with his father, Walter, there'd be great excitement. But you know what would not happen? He would not come over to me and say, "Hey, Gary, how's it going, buddy? How's Barb? How's Richard? How's Catherine? I hear you got grandkids now." Greatest thing in the world, by the way. "I hear you got grandkids now." That would never happen. You know why? We don't know each other. I know about him. He doesn't know me. Now listen, you can be raised in a Christian home. You can attend a Christian assembly. You can carry your Bible. You can sing the songs. But if you've never come to the place where you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you've got a lot of knowledge but no reality. You know what that means? Like living a lie. And you need to make it real. That's where God's plan starts with salvation. Have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? Is he yours? Has that sin been forgiven? And when that sin is forgiven, then the relationship comes back together and the fulfillment of the plan that God has in mind can be worked out for you. And you can appropriate it. You can live it. You can enjoy it. It may not be easy, but it's the best way to live. And it starts by being saved. I'd like you to bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment. Salvation is a personal decision. Your leaders can't do it for you. Your mom and dad can't do it for you. Your elders can't do it for you. I can't do it. But it has to be done. Because your eternal soul is at stake. And you are the only ones that can do it. And it's personal. It's not about joining anything. It's not about knowing more. It's about choosing to make a decision about that which you know. Already. And you may be like kids across this country that have grown up in Christian homes and